What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast episode 75 on May 16th, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, accompanied by Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
Man, it's getting that summer weather, man. That hot, just dry heat.
Ugh. Yep. Yeah, it's a little bit later than usual this year, right? Like, I feel like the last few years, it's been warmer sooner,
yeah.
I want to say, right?
I feel so. It felt like winter lasted a little longer this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always seems like it lasts a little bit longer each year kind of thing, but
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I just, the sun is nice and all.
The sun sometimes. Is nice, yes.
It's nice going outside, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's kind of warm. That's kind of cool. But then, like, also the sun drains my energy.
Yes,
and
completely
like,
agree.
at the end of a long work week, I'm just like, nah, guys, sun, go away. I just
shut the shades, darkness.
I just need to be inside for a while, not have to worry about things, and just play some video games, Michael.
And I think the thing I hate the most, and I feel like I should be used to it because I lived in Virginia for 12 years, and now here for a couple. I hate that it gets so. It doesn't get dark until like 8 and then 9. And
yep.
I've always hated that. I don't know why. I like night to come around like 6, 7.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect.
And yeah.
It's like, ugh.
That was one of the nice things in Hawaii. Was
exactly.
That basically, you know, it was always a regular time of day when things got dark and it was time to, you know, go inside and sleep or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, it's a little after 7 in the afternoon or in the evening,
I guess. Yeah.
It's evening, but it looks like it's just bright day outside. So weird. So weird all the time. How's everything been going for you, Michael?
It's good. Good. Uh-huh. It's very, very, it's been an odd week in video games for me. Like, I didn't really play much, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I think I was kind of in a similar place kind of thing. I will like throw out there that I think right around the middle of the week where I was just like, you know, it's time. And I think on the 12th I didn't get a trophy. And
oh,
I was like,
it's time.
I don't care anymore. I made it like almost 5.5 months. And,
it's impressive.
No, 4.5 months, is that right? Yeah, 4.5 months. And I'm just like, I'm good.
That's 4.5 more months than I would have made it.
But it was a good run.
It was.
And it's not like I was trying to do it on purpose. It was just kind of just, like, I was just in the groove. And
yeah,
I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'll just keep it going, see how long it goes.
Comes
and then eventually, eventually I was just like, okay, yeah, now's the time. I don't have the time for this. I'm really tired after work today. So I just came home and I'm like, all right, I could try and get something now, but whatever. I'm just tired.
That's what happens when you get older. You just get tired.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man. Speaking of getting older.
Yeah.
30 years old now, Michael.
I feel it. It's weird that we're hitting a threshold.
Weird. I know, right? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, officially the body starts dying when you hit 30, so. So you're almost there. Don't worry. You got some more life in you, Michael.
Can't wait for death to come sooner.
Hey man, it comes to everybody.
That's
you know
true.
What I'm saying?
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of like video games and stuff, it's been a weird week. I feel like I usually have a list of a few things I've been playing. In the like recent weeks, I've been trying to kind of think about things, and I'm like, you know, I want to really like, it's been a long time since I've just like dived into games, and I want to, in the sense of like sticking with one game and just keep on playing kind of thing. I feel like it's been a while since a game has grabbed me and made me like not want to go to something else.
Yep.
I think, let me just look real quick at my, because I always, you know, have trophy list things open
course.
And stuff.
It's a good
source
of information.
Yeah. Because I can usually like look real quick and be like, oh yeah, I remember playing a lot of this right now. I want to say, I think the last game that I probably got grabbed by and played pretty much continuously and stuff was, I think, probably The Pathless. I think that was the most recent one. I was thinking it was even before that, and I think in my head it would have been Miles Morales.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like, I think just looking through everything, I'm like, no, yeah, I remember playing The Pathless a lot, just for like, you know, days and days kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You wake up, you're excited to play it, and you go to sleep, you want to play it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was more like, I get home, and I'm like, yeah, I want to play some Pathless right now.
Because
when I wake up in the morning, I got to go to work. So. But yeah, I think in terms of like, yeah, going through like a bunch of the things that are on my list lately, I've been bouncing around a lot, and I think Returnal would have hit like that, But the fact that I need to invest like multiple hours in each run kind of thing.
Yeah, you can't just stop mid-run.
Yeah, yeah, is what has stopped me from really diving into that. I think lately the one that's been catching me again, not again, but like actually catching me to like keeping me there has been Scourgebringer.
Oh, okay.
So I've been slowly progressing in that game where I think, I'm trying to remember, I think the last time we talked maybe I had beaten like the second boss or something like that out of, you know, the different areas that you go through. Mm-hmm. So I think hold on, I've seen the name so many times now, I should be able to remember them. I still can't remember the first one. First one is the Entangled Ingress, I think is what it's called.
Okay.
The second area is the Still Bastion. Third area is the Wasted Pit. I've seen that a few times now. And then, yeah, I just recently finished the boss of the Wasted Pit, made it to area 4, which is called Living Walls, which is a pretty creepy-looking area.
Can imagine.
Got some nasty, like, spider creatures in there. I don't like those at all. No-go. They shoot acid bubbles, Michael. They shoot acid bubbles.
As do most spiders.
Ugh, the worst. This is why nobody likes spiders. This is why arachnophobia became a thing, Michael. Yeah, yep. Acid bubbles.
Those acid bubbles.
But, you know, I finally made it to level 4, or, like, the area 4, for the Living Walls and stuff. And I was like, great, this is awesome. And I was already pretty low on health at that point. And I was like, okay, well, let's just explore a little bit. I died, of course, you know, and then a little Mass Effect game came out.
It did.
Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So now I'm like, well, okay, this is probably what is going to be catching me lately, because, man, Mass Effect, Michael.
Oh, of course.
Oh, it's okay. I got there's some interesting things as far as, like, you know, we'll go a little into trophy time right now, because the Legendary Edition.
You should make that a segment. Trophy time.
Oh man! Oh, okay. If we want to make it a segment, we need to like think of like a song for it or something.
Oh God.
Okay. Wait. Hold on. Let me think of something real quick.
Trophy time. It's trophy time.
Oh, you're going more like peppy. I was like thinking of like a more like chill kind of thing. Like, okay. Hold on. Give me a second here. Talking about some trophies. Talking about some cool things. Okay. So. Yeah. Let me see if I can. Let me see if I can do this. I don't know why this song is popping into my head, but I'm gonna steal the tune from was it the Gorillaz or something? I think.
Oh God! I see where you're going with this.
Okay, let's try it out. It's trophies. In the time I got sunshine on my mind, I want to get them in my games. It's going to stay here forever the same. There we go. Trophy
time. We're
going
to get DMCA'd for that. That was pinpoint audio. Oh, right, man.
I'm going to still work on these lyrics, because I just had to think of things real quick there, and I don't remember the words I said. I'll have to listen back either. To it later.
So. Just hit up Andy. He does.
Yeah, and he makes good stuff like that. So might have him like workshop some stuff for me, maybe. Oh man. Okay, but let's talk of the trophies of Mass Effect, Michael. So the Legendary Edition, right, has Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 in it.
Right.
Obviously, all three of those games. Well, I should say, originally 2 and 3 came to the PS3. 1 came later on when they made the trilogy kind of thing. And so then it got a thing for the PS3 at that point. But, you know, obviously the PS3, PS4 trophies for most games, not all games, but most games have separate lists. They can be the same list, but separate lists.
Right.
And so the nice thing is that now that it's on PS4, we don't have to worry about, you know, not being able to get trophies for it, is because now there's a separate list that we can get things on there. And strange thing that I've never really seen before is that the Legendary Edition has a set of trophies. No platinum there, because each individual game has its own list and like therefore like its own platinum.
Okay, makes sense.
But the Legendary Edition also has a set of like 11 trophies, which is super interesting. I've never seen something like this before.
That is odd. Yeah. So there's the three main set of trophy lists for each game.
Yep. And those are all just like regular, like full-on sets, right?
And then there's a fourth one.
Yeah, there's a fourth one, which is for the entire thing. So it's like meta trophies. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
I'll go through here, because there's no platinum for that one, but there are 11 different trophies, and there is, let's see, So they are
spoilers, and in case it's like still in story spoilers.
Let me see point. These ones actually. So since these ones are not related to story things.
Okay.
So no spoilers, luckily. But the first one is called Insanity 1, which is you complete Mass Effect 1, 2, or 3 on Insanity without changing the difficulty. Okay. Insanity 2, which you complete 2 of the games on that difficulty, and then Insanity 3, you complete basically all of the games on Insanity difficulty without changing it. So that's like 3 separate things there. You got to play all the games on Insanity, which I think may be true. They are possibly tied to some trophies in the actual games themselves.
Okay.
So people that are trying to do that anyways will probably end up getting that. And then there is Paramore 1, 2, and 3, which basically, you know, you do a romance in each of the games. You can either do it in 1, 2, or 3, or all of them kind of thing. You get all those. Long Service Medal, which is you play all 3 games with the same character. So it's basically, you know, your character's Shepard, right?
Yeah.
You create them in the beginning, or you just use, you know, basic whatever Shepard kind of thing. And as long as you carry over the data game to game, that's the long service type of thing.
I'd imagine that'd be an easy trophy to get, because I can't imagine like you wanting to have a different Shepard each time.
You would think so, but I'll go back to that, because there's some weirdness. Then there's, let's see, Recruit, which is you kill 250 enemies in 1, 2, or 3. Soldier, you kill 1,000 enemies. Veteran, you kill 2,000 enemies. And then Bruiser, you kill 100 enemies with melee attacks. And that's kind of in any of the games. You can basically kind of do that across, I would assume.
Okay.
So it's an interesting thing to see like a whole new like list on top of like 3 full lists.
Like I love Mass Effect. I love Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, I'd say 2. Right?
3 played half. I would say halfway, and it was fine.
Did we play half?
Like a third, maybe.
Okay. Because
I remember I got at least like 4 or 5 companions.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm trying to remember like how far. Because I know like getting the. Again, I feel like if you think of like acts or like a game coming in like acts kind of thing, I would say that like when you know like the first act of the Mass Effect game is like getting your companions together, and then the second act is like when you're able to do their companion missions and things, and the third is like the finale of the main story kind of stuff. That's what I think of when I think of like the Mass Effect stuff. So I wanted to say, because it felt like we were still probably pretty early, at least comparatively, because the Mass Effect games are all pretty dense basically if you're going through most story things. I don't think I remember getting super far in 3, and I think we were playing it around the same time.
Well, I don't even have any trophies for the game.
Oh my gosh! Michael's never even played Mass Effect
3. But I have played, you know, you've seen me play Mass Effect 3.
Interesting. Huh, also look at my thing now. If I ever play Mass Effect 3, who knows? Let me see.
I remember.
Here. Well, actually, hold on, because I was playing it on Xbox at that point, so I think that would be on Xbox.
I definitely wasn't.
Because then I came back and got the trilogy on PS3 originally. And then started to play. I think I've beat Mass Effect 1 again on the PS3, and then started 2. But I was playing on Insanity difficulty, and it's pretty insane. So
okay, to be fair here, it's not even showing Mass Effect 2 for some reason.
Ah, this may be one of the cases of when you got locked out of the other one, or you forgot the login or something, or
no,
how was that?
I don't know if it's that. I think it might be because that one. My first account was like in 2015, and I made Cool Story Bros in like I'm pretty sure before Mass Effect 3.
Yes,
I can imagine.
Well, okay, hold on, hold on a second. Now I'm trying to think.
Because
when we were living in Hawaii, I think was around the time that you played like stuff like The Last of Us and Mass Effect 2 and part of 3.
Yes.
And then sometime after then, you created a new PSN.
Cool Story.
For something. Yeah, Cool Story, bro. And I don't remember why you made the new one originally.
Because,
but
Matt, when did Mass Effect 3 come out?
Hold on.
Because
2010?
The first trophy was 2010?
I think so. Let me
maybe
look
that
it
is the case then.
Let's see. Mass Effect 3.
Because my first trophy in this, my current account is...
Oh, my bad. 2012.
Okay. Okay. But well, still, I guess that would make sense then.
Yeah,
because
still, that seemed like it would make
my
sense.
My first trophy that came out that I have for this account is 2013.
Okay.
So I guess that does make sense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it all lines up then.
Those trophies are gone.
But yeah, I think we were both relatively early, it seemed like, at least in there, right? Because we hadn't gotten all the companions yet, and that's how I figured I was judging that thing.
I forgot what my point was that I was making.
Something about Mass Effect.
Oh, no, that was it. I was going to say, I Mass Effect 2 is one of my favorite games, top 10. Uh-huh. But I can imagine getting all these trophies or platinuming the game, or the new legendary game, is just going to take way too much time. I feel like I would get burned out with Mass Effect trying to get...
I'm sure it'll... Yeah, I'm trying... So, for sure, doing the platinum run is like, you either got to play the game multiple times, or you got to play it, I think, from the start on Insanity kind of thing.
Right.
And that's a tough way to do it. I started, I think, just on regular, because I just wanted to go through all the stories again.
For sure.
And I say again only for basically 1 and 2, because I never finished 3. Mm-hmm. But I do want to go through all this stuff, and it is going to be like... probably dozens and dozens of hours.
Yep.
So we'll have to see. But I think this, like, going back into Mass Effect 1 recently has been nice. And there's, I'm not sure how this new system will play into it yet. There's a new system in play in the Legendary Edition where you can either play it like what they call the classic mode, or I don't remember if they call it like the legendary mode or something like that. But basically, classic mode in Mass Effect 1, your level cap was level 60. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, by the end of the game, you're basically guaranteed to be level 60 as long as you've been doing all kinds of, like, side things and whatnot.
Okay.
And so then you have, you know, all your powers and things unlocked. In the revamped version of this, the level cap is 30. So I'm not sure how that plays out, because it feels like I'm still getting experience at, like, roughly the same rate. But I'll have to kind of, like, play through and see, like, when I actually hit level cap now. Because I wanted to play it with a legendary thing, just because I was like, okay, well, clearly they made this for a reason. Let's try it out and see if it does much to it. But it'll be interesting. I want to see kind of what the main, I guess, changes for that whole type of mode are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool, though. It's cool. I like being back in Mass Effect 1. It's weird how, like, you know, I haven't thought about dialogue and parts of Mass Effect 1 in a long time, and then actually, like, starting to play it again, I'm in, like, a cutscene or something, and I know what's about to happen, even though I haven't thought about it for, like, years, kind of thing. And then I'm like I see it happen, and I'm just like, oh, this is cool. It's like a nice I remember this pretty well for some reason. I don't know why. It comes back really easily. Not like, oh man, totally forgot about this thing.
Where did this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Now, quick question now. Because I follow Gene Park on Twitter. He's a Washington Post journalist, but he does video games, big video game person.
Gotcha.
He basically, that's what he covers. But he was talking about Mass Effect, and he said he bought the Legendary or the new collection on the Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and I totally forgot about that, Mass Effect 1 was originally an Xbox game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said it just feels right to play Mass Effect, just 1, 2, and 3, just where he normally played it on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Did that thought ever cross your mind? Like, oh, maybe it'd be cool to actually play it on Xbox again, or did you just go right to PlayStation?
I think I just went right to PlayStation because I wanted to play it on the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
I probably could have played it on like the, yeah, I don't have a Series X or S or anything. I could have probably just played it on our Xbox like One kind of thing, but. Yeah, no. It's kind of just like it feels new, so I want to play it on something new.
Makes
sense. Just like, nah. I'm gonna go straight into this thing. Especially when they're talking about the I think PS5 runs it at like 60 FPS and 4K and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I wanna see like the coolest looking version of these like games and stuff. Obviously, like older games like Mass Effect and stuff still look older, but it's like a fresh coat of paint kind of on there, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. I like this.
Well, I'll be playing it on PS4 because I don't have the means for a PS5, unfortunately. So I'll let you know how it looks there.
Yeah. We'll go a little bit into some PS5 stuff later on too, but yeah, things are pretty crazy, Michael. Semiconductor chips or whatever they're called. Crazy. What other stuff you've been playing though? I think Mass Effect was kind of the last thing that I started playing this week, along with like Scourgebringer and stuff like that.
I think the main RPG that I've jumped into, because, you know, I've jumped through is Yakuza 5. Played a good amount of it this weekend.
Oh, Yakuza 5. Sorry.
Yakuza 5, yeah. Want to beat that eventually. It's probably the biggest Yakuza game out of all of them, so that's going to take some time. But the only other game that I played this week was a game. I turned on my Vita, and I saw, I'm like, oh, I have Sly 2. I have all the Sly games. I've beaten one, and I've beaten the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I should play 2 and 3. You know how we talked about a couple weeks ago? We were talking about the discussion about remakes and like sequels and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I brought up the point, oh man, they should remake the Sly games and Jak and games. And you're like, oh, should they really? And I was like, yeah they should. They should remake Sly.
Ah. So I
think out of all the Jak games, the Ratchet and Clank and all those other ones like Tak and the Juju, those platformer, 3D platformer kind of games, I think I like Sly the best.
Wow, okay. Because obviously, like, Ratchet has gotten some new games most recently and then is getting ripped apart soon kind of thing. So even after, like, the new Ratchet.
Even after the new Ratchet, I like, because Ratchet plays like an action game and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the humor and stuff. But something about Sly, like, it's not, there's a lot of sneaking involved and I'm not normally a fan of sneaking.
Yeah.
But something about the story and the settings and the characters and the gameplay is really fun. Mm. It just all comes together. I'm like, man, I just want to be in this world, like, as much as I can.
Okay. Now, do you think because I feel like even probably for Ratchet and games, like the, like, Rift Apart that's coming out next month looks like it's gotten, like, the most change in terms of, like, gameplay and stuff. Would you want, like, similar gameplay as, like, what Sly has now, or do you see, like, areas that could be improved?
Oh, definitely, kind of there stuff? Could be areas improved for sure. Oh, okay.
Like, which kind of things do you think would probably more
combat variety? Because you have your cane, more
different moves. And
yeah,
things.
Yeah. Okay. You have your cane, and you can do things with your cane, but that's really about it. You don't really have any other, like, gadgets to use.
You're mostly sneaking
and using your cane and stuff. So, if they would add, like, he gets, like, a boomerang. I'm just throwing things out there, but something else that you can help that can, like, distract you, because you can't distract enemies either, really.
Really?
Least in the four, like, it's a stealth game, but it's not a stealth game. Like, you're hiding from people, but they have, like, a set path, the enemies.
So they don't
like move away from.
They're not smart enemies.
Yeah,
they're just
exactly.
Kind of,
so they could actually make smarter AI and stuff.
So
yeah, smarter AI, more enemies, gadgets, stuff would be cool. But that main core gameplay and stylistic ideas that Sly has, I think, would be cool.
Okay. It'd be cool to see, like, a almost like a weird, like, live action, like,
oh god,
raccoon creature being followed around by a tortoise and a hippopotamus and things. It'd be interesting.
I'd be more willing to see it now after seeing how good the Sonic movie was. So.
Oh no, I don't mean in movie form. I mean in, like, game form.
Oh, game
like,
form.
I want to see this realistic looking raccoon with all the whiskers and
keep
things.
Keep it cartoonish. Keep it cartoonish, please.
No, man, I don't want to see no cartoon pink hippo. I want to see this, like, actual real hippo.
No, thank you.
Come busting through the wall.
Wrong game for that. Then.
what was that other game? Tokyo something. Tokyo. Oh man, there was like a PS3 game where it was like you played as, like, it's gonna bug me. You played as like animals in, like, Tokyo and stuff.
Hold on a second. Tokyo, was it a fighting game?
No, I think it was just like you were just animals, like, living your life in the city.
I have no idea.
Tokyo, is that right? No, hold on a second. Yeah, no, that's right. Tokyo Jungle. There it is.
Tokyo Jungle.
Yeah, it's just a game where you play as, like, animals in, like, city after the city is, like...
Oh, it's a survival game.
Yeah, the city is, like, overrun by, like, nature and stuff. There's no people anywhere. You're just all animals living your lives and things.
Oh, it's a strategy game.
Oh, is it? Interesting. I never actually played it.
Image is a strategy.
Yeah.
That's the mobile game. Never mind.
Oh, okay.
It's a mobile version.
Yeah, no, I think you basically... Yeah, you're just kind of moving around, you know, doing challenges, living animal lives and things. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, definitely don't want Sly.
make like that.
No, not at all. Please do not. Keep it in the cartoonish aesthetic.
Oh man, do you think games don't have enough, like, cartoon styles kind of thing? Do you think that's something
that
people?
I feel
like
there should be more.
Do you think that's something that people, like, miss, or do you think that people are, like,
kind of
over that?
I certainly miss. I can't. I actually haven't seen a whole bunch of, like, discussion on that, like what people want.
Yeah.
But I definitely want more cartoonish games, because while some games like do good in like realistic human thing, I tend to like games that look more anime or cartoony or art. I don't want to say artistic, but more in that vein kind of thing.
Okay. Now, have you played, because I know you played them in the past. Did you ever pick up the what was like the, is it Attack and the Power of Juju?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the ones I mentioned on the GameCube.
Is it the Boomerang one? Is that
the was Ty the Tasmanian Tiger.
There we go. Did you ever pick up that one and stuff? Because that was,
I had that on the GameCube.
Oh,
okay.
Oh wait, no. The when it came out again.
No, I haven't bought it yet. No.
Oh, okay, because I was like, because that one's been remastered. Mm-hmm. We had like the, what is it, the Spyro trilogy, which I think you've played.
Picked up, yep.
Got the Crash trilogy, which I don't know if you play. Have you played that one?
Oh, okay. I had the demo when it first came out a while ago. But
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, they've remade a bunch of these like cartoon things, but I don't see a lot of like new games being made as cartoon stuffs.
No, I don't either. So it's, I wonder more if that it's realism.
Just, yeah, like, I wonder if it's just like a dying like breed of games kind of thing. Where
could be.
I don't know. Just like, what are kids like nowadays?
TikTok,
Roblox, Minecraft. I don't know, video games. I don't know if kids care about TikTok or not.
Call of Duty and Fortnite is.
Yeah. Fortnite's not more cartoony. Yeah, that's kind of the one that seems like it's
Apex brought
some
is
of that
more
back.
Realistic.
Yeah, it's like Overwatch. Apex cartoony. Is like more like cartoon. It's like more. It looks like Borderlands, basically. Kind of Apex does. It's like way more like a cel-shaded kind of look and stuff.
I would say it's more on the more almost like realistic. Comics. Yeah, more on comics. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
But
graphic novel.
Yeah. Oh man, be interesting to see what the next like unique like cartoon looking game would be.
The one that I'm actually really excited for. After this, we'll move on. Biomutant.
Oh yeah, that's coming out in like 9 days.
Yeah, Fantasy League. I keep looking up stuff on it. I'm like, this game looks actually really good.
Yeah, I remember playing a demo of that, and it was pretty tight when I played it. I think there is some like weird parts in there that like, I think I remember from the demo, it was like a mech suit that you use to walk through like oil fields and stuff, and I was like, this is a weird mechanic in here, because like, you know, the idea that like you can't go through this area unless you find this mech suit and you got to use that to walk over. I'm just like, all right, guys, come on. Weird kind of thing. I want to just play outside of this mech suit.
Let me do my stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to use this mech suit and shoot missiles and things. I want to go and like fight like Kung Fu Rabbit and whatnot.
I think the game's been in production for a while though.
Yeah, it has been in production for quite a while, and that's why I'm like, okay, it seems like it could be cool. I'm gonna wait to see like how things go.
Yeah,
especially since you got on your Fantasy Critic thing, but. Yeah, that one will be an interesting. Again, looks more of like realistic kind of thing than like the cartoony. Side. Like, even though it's weird, like mutated like animals and stuff, they're all it's like all you can see the fur CG kind of stuff. Yeah, it's interesting though. Interesting. All right, Michael, let's get into some news. Since we talked about the PS5 a little bit earlier, there was a news story that came out this past week that apparently the PS5 is still going to have a hard time like coming out with like a new supply kind of thing to end the shortage and whatnot in this in this year, basically. This was coming from Takashi Mochizuki over on Bloomberg, and the idea was that we've been in a shortage of, what do they call them, semiconductor chips? I'm not a tech person.
I'm less than you are, so.
They've been in a shortage of these chips that basically are used for all these different things, like phones, computers, obviously, like, new consoles and stuff.
Right.
And, because it's hard to get these things for everyone, then it's just like, well, Sony's also suffering in terms of PS5 production and whatnot. But it sounds like, the shortage possibly could go on until kind of next year as well. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll have to wait and see how the whole like chip shortage and stuff like ends up going. If it starts to get better, then maybe things get better and we'll be okay. But man, long time. On the slightly annoying side, right? When I walk through like a regular store, right? Like say I walk through like a Fred Meyer, right?
Right.
I go through and I pass the electronics section because it's like
right at the front.
Yeah, it's right at the front of the store. I look over to my left. I always look over to my left because I'm like, hey man, I'm gonna check to see just in case they got some stock there. let Michael know and stuff, or I'll just grab it for him and be like, Michael, here you go. Like,
give me $500.
Yeah, right now. $500 when you're ready, kind of thing. But yeah, I always take a look and I'm just like, okay, yeah, nothing there. And I look again, like, you know, the next week or the week after that. And I'm like, yeah, still nothing there.
Yep.
But every time I look, they have the stupid, like, store model one. And I'm like,
can I just take
that? I was like, you really should just, like, sell this thing. Yes. Like,
you would sell it in, like, seconds.
Yeah. Like, we don't live in a world anymore where you go into a store and unless it's a GameStop, that's a very specific case.
Yeah.
I haven't been into Best Buy in a long time. I don't think they really do it as much anymore.
Not that I've noticed,
no. But you don't go into stores anymore and be like, oh man, the console's right there, and oh man, the controller's right there. I can go ahead and like play this game, whatever is booted up on here on this store demo kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen.
No.
So just good PS5s are just sitting there, just on display in the store, and no one can buy these things. Yeah. If it's happening all across the country, that's got to be hundreds of PS5s that are just sitting there for no reason. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just let my boy Michael come into this store and just buy your PS5. You know what I'm saying, man?
I was thinking, because I've been looking at other people and what they've been saying about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I woke up every morning at 4 a.m., checked the stores, ready on these websites, always just refresh and re-clicking, I would eventually get lucky and get a PS5. But nobody has the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The main thing, too, is when you say, like, get lucky, I'm like, it shouldn't have to be like
you
that.
It shouldn't have to be luck. Because there was one the other day, I was at work. It's like, oh, Wario64 posted on Twitter, Best Buy has a restocking, and I was like a minute ago. I'm like, oh, okay, let's just see.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I do have the funds, but I don't have the funds I want to spend on a PS5 right now.
Oh, yeah,
taxes and all that. But I mean, you know, I'm just gonna see what happens. If what happens, credit card, whatever, I'll pay that off. Checked on Best Buy, went on the thing, got in. They have a weird thing where you click to add cart, and then it says, please wait. It's like, oh, we have a system where we do one per thing. I'm like, okay, I'll wait until it turns yellow, then I'll add to my cart.
Mm-hmm.
Added it to my cart. I'm like, okay, cool. Went to the cart, selected my location. Error, this location no longer has one. I'm like, okay. Beaverton, went through all the ones near us.
Mm-hmm.
There was none.
Ah,
I'm like, part of me believes that there was none in these places to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a stock for Best Buy in general.
Yeah, like it's like that's one, like when going through that, like that just sounds like an annoying bit to have to like deal with, because yeah. It's like, yeah, the idea that, you know, obviously Best Buy is getting stock, does that mean like
my location isn't?
Yeah, does that mean like all Best Buys are gonna get like one or two in stock kind of thing? Yeah. Or is it just like it's just randomly thrown out into the wild and it's like
Arkansas or something?
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm like, then what are we supposed to do with mm-hmm. this as consumers and things, you know? Like, people should be able to figure this thing out a little bit better, and it seems like no one's been able to figure out this kind of thing. Obviously not talking about in terms of just, you know, the shortage of production and stuff, but just the idea that, you know, you can't make this system easier. You can't have this, like, stupid GameStop does this whole thing where it's like, oh man, we're gonna start putting, you know, we have some more stock. Here's the stock we have. It's all these bundles, $750 per bundle. I'm like, get out of here. And it's with like this, things, ma'am.
Like two controllers. Like, I don't personally need two controllers. Mm-hmm. I'm fine if worse comes worse, bundle gives me an extra controller. Sure, I'll put it on the side. But there's like headphones and gift cards and PS Plus subscription. Like, I don't need this. Mm-hmm. And like if you sell it to them, like,
I don't think you. So, okay, so, like, yeah, if you were to buy the bundle, right, like, obviously you couldn't give them the gift card back. But,
yeah.
Like, the way I think about these bundles sometimes is that, like, okay, if it's a gift card, obviously I don't really want to spend this gift card on, you know, a game in, like, physical GameStop, unless it's, like, something I'm looking for and it's, like, hard to find.
Right.
Like a random, like, Pokemon, like, White or something, we'll say, for the DS. Those things are rare, hard to find. But, yeah, so, like, I'm not going in there to buy, like, physical stuff, but I'll go in with the gift card and be like, hey, can I have a $25 PSN card? Because I'll spend that right away, right? That all checks out there. I don't have to worry about, like, sales tax in Oregon, which is nice. But then the whole, like, yeah, it's obviously, like, you get a few games plus a controller, which, like, I think the controller is a cool thing mm-hmm. because, you know, obviously
texture is cool.
I was going to get a new, like, if I didn't have one, I was going to get a PS5, I would get a new controller anyways, because I want multiple controllers I can switch between, because I'm always keeping one charging while I'm playing with another, and then when it's done charging, it's ready to go. If this one that I'm using dies, kind of thing. I want at least two controllers at all times.
I don't have that responsibility.
I know. This always happens when we're playing games together and stuff, and then you're like, dang it, my controller died. I need a cable. And I'm just like, what?
We got on the talk about if you get an extra one, you can just record or charge that one. And I was like, knowing me, I would just let both controllers die, and then I would have to do the same cycle again, and it would just keep happening.
Yeah, but you just gotta get in the habit. Just get in the habit. Like, as soon as your controller's dead, it's like, oh man, I gotta charge this, plug it in, boom. Then you grab the other controller and be like, oh, I can play still, though, and I keep playing, and that one's charging, and it's like, ah, easy peasy. It's like
fighting a wall with my brain, man.
fighting a wall with your brain.
I tell you what to do, and you don't do it.
Oh my gosh. Bad guys never see it coming.
Exactly.
I punch with my brain. Oh my gosh. Yeah, dude, it's a nice thing, you know. I think once you start getting in the habit of it, it makes it easier. Yeah. And then you're just like, okay, now I'm always set. I don't ever have a controller and they're just all dead. Unless it's like, you know, I haven't charged anything in forever and haven't played in a while.
It's true.
But if the surplus is not coming anytime soon for PS5s, I mean, hopefully we'll at least start to see things towards the end of the year, like, change around that. Because it's weird. Like, obviously with the PS4, it was selling like gangbusters originally.
Oh, yeah.
But even then, like, when I wasn't hanging around, like, on launch day, like, trying to find, like, stock and whatnot, I just heard, like, okay, like, I know it came out. I know it's sold out pretty much all over the place. And then I think randomly I happened to check, I think, like, a Walmart or something in Forest Grove when I was living there. And they had one. I was like, shoot, I'll buy it. I'm getting this now. Like, it was that kind of thing.
That was like with me and the Wii.
Oh, the Wii was all
sold out. And me and my parents, we drove to like GameStop in the town center or the other town center.
Yeah.
And we waited in the morning till them opened. And they're like, oh, no, we don't have any. And then months later, Amanda was just in the mall at the GameStop, just walked by and they had a Wii.
Yeah.
He's like, should I buy it? I'm like, yeah, buy it. And we got a Wii.
Yeah, like these kinds of things. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's a few months later, like you see it and like, oh yeah, shoot, I'll grab it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's like it came out in November of last year. It's like we're almost like six months.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Crazy that it's still going on like this. But
continue longer too.
Uh-huh. That's crazy. The idea of this possibly going into next year sounds insane.
Yep.
PS5 games just cool keep coming out, you know, like they're slowly starting to come out, and I'm just like, dude, what's gonna happen? Like, what are people gonna do with by this all the time? And the difference here is that, like, you know, unlike Nintendo, who chooses to almost never like lower the prices of their games and stuff on purpose because they can do it, Sony will lower the prices of their games. So it's like, you know, if you can't get PS5s out to people who want them and would buy these games, you know, at regular price, then the developers suffer because now, you know, these games are like, you know, they've been out for a while. It's like, oh, okay, no one else is buying them. Computer algorithm says we put it on sale at 20% off or something like that. And, you know, it's not really doing anything because a lot of people own the game maybe. And then you go when it drops like 50%, now people have gotten the stock of the PS5 and like, shoot, this game's 50% off. I'll buy it.
Yep.
But you miss out on sales that way. It's crazy.
It's also in the same terms of like, I saw something, how Returnal has dropped down in sales, man. No one's buying it. And I was like, no one's buying it probably because not enough people have a PS5.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's people who are like, oh, I don't want to buy it because of issues with the game. But I feel like the main reason is no one has a PS5 buy the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I imagine that a lot of people who wanted it bought it originally.
Exactly.
And then the people who were like, okay, like, you know, maybe this isn't for me and they have a PS5, I assume are probably, you know, out there. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the people who are like, man, I want to play this, but I don't have a PS5. Then it's like, what are they supposed to do? Yeah, it's like, I'm not going to buy this game before I get a PS5 to play it on. So it's like, huh. Just losing all around here. Hopefully they'll figure things out. But man, yeah, hopefully Sony can kind of kick things into gear. And it seems like Ubisoft's kicked some things into gear, Michael, because we found out.
I forgot about this.
I know. We found out last week as well that they have adopted a kind of new branding, I'll say, for their games, and they're going to start calling all of their games kind of under this umbrella of the Ubisoft Originals. How do you feel about this, Michael?
What was this? Was this the the story of them making the new, like, free-to-play kind of?
It's kind of tied in with that where, yeah, so, like, obviously they did announce The Division Heartland is going to be, free-to-play title. And it's going to be a Ubisoft original kind of thing, right? And then basically kind of going forward, all games made by Ubisoft, since they don't really do any third-party published games kind of thing by them, they will kind of all have this branding as like a Ubisoft original game. So all the upcoming Assassin's Creeds and I guess what, Tom Clancy games.
Which is weird because Tom Clancy isn't a Ubisoft original. It's a Tom Clancy original.
But also Tom Clancy's dead now. So yeah, like, it's like, I don't know. When you're talking about like the, I guess I should say like things like Ghost Recon and stuff, yeah. Right? All these games coming forward, you know, Ubisoft original. Was it Rainbow Six games, Ubisoft originals, like all these different things. And they're kind of bringing this new like branding, kind of like the Netflix originals of like movies on Netflix and whatnot, right?
I don't even know what to think about it. Like, it's cool, I guess. Like, does it change like the quality of the games they make? Or is it just they're putting all their games? Because I feel like them putting them, again, I could not be reading into what their main point was. Mm-hmm. It's because it sounds like they're putting their Ubisoft original on these games that people already know is an Ubisoft game.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I would say that like people that know it's a Ubisoft game are probably, I think, like us being in like the more like hardcore side of like gaming and stuff like that. I think we look at all these things and we're like, of course, this is made by Ubisoft. Like, we know this, but random Joe Schmo who just picked up a PS5 and got super lucky at the store and he's here to heard it's all the hot rage on TikTok or whatever. He goes in playing and he's like, oh man, I'm gonna play this game with some assassins in this. Oh, it's a Ubisoft original. I don't know what that means, but I'm gonna play this game, right? Like, he doesn't know what Ubisoft is and all these things. But I think it's you know, similar to how like Netflix eventually came out with Netflix originals and stuff. So you're like, oh, this is clearly like something that's only made by Netflix and is on Netflix services kind of thing, I think is a way to let like just average gamers know like, hey, this is like something special because it only comes from like this company and they just keep seeing it over and over. It's like that slow invasion of your mind,
right?
Into like, hey, like all these games that I play recently all say Ubisoft original. Maybe I like Ubisoft games, you know? Like you eventually start to figure those things out if you see it enough, is kind of what I think about it.
I get it. It's just weird to me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool. I like the idea of them, you know, jumping on this like train of, you know, what's like Marvel movies having their own like Marvel Studios kind of thing, and then Sony, I think, was one of the more recent ones with like what are they called? Sony Game Studio. I forget what they called the actual thing. Sony Game Studios. As like all the first party like titles or all the Sony exclusive kind of things, they have now this kind of umbrella thing for that, and now it's kind of one more way to like easily identify like, hey, this is only on PlayStation kind of thing.
Right.
Xbox before them with the whole like Xbox Game Studios branding and whatnot, and it's kind of everyone's doing this like new branding thing because they're like, hey, like this is a way to just put everything under an umbrella.
Right.
Because when you look at like, you know, regular like things coming in, if it pops up and it's like, hey, like Ubisoft Montreal made this kind of thing, regular people just like I don't know anything about that. I don't know what the difference is between the Montreal thing and just a regular Ubisoft and stuff. It's all just whatever kind of thing, right? But if it's all just going to be under this big umbrella and it makes it easier for people to be like, hey, I like this specific studio or this studio publisher kind of side of things, I like this network of like games they got going under this umbrella, then it's like, oh, okay, maybe I'll just keep buying more of these things because I seem to like this type of like setup, you know?
Right. And when you say it like that, it makes sense for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it's just me. Like, I even with like the Netflix thing you brought up and other PlayStation, like the PlayStation Studios things. Mm-hmm. I think me personally, I never really like register those things. Like, I it. I'm like, oh, I'm just watching this on Netflix or I'm just playing this on PlayStation. It crosses my mind. I'm like, oh, this is a Netflix original. This is a PlayStation home game or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I completely get it with like the average schmo, or no, I don't want to say average schmo, or the casual fan who like, oh man, I like these games. What is it? Oh, it's Ubisoft exclusive or made game, like, oh, I like these Ubisoft games. Maybe I'll continue playing this. So it makes sense for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think another thing, too, that, like, I, you know, because when Netflix started doing it, I was just like, okay, well, in my brain now, I get that Netflix originals means that this is only going to be on here and I'll never find it anywhere else kind of thing. When it came to the PlayStation Studios having their own, like, intro and thing now, that's been a really cool thing where, you know, the, like, one, like, they chose some pretty cool music in the beginning for the whole cinematic that kind of goes on there. And then you get to see a whole bunch of different, like, characters that are kind of popping up inside the, like, PlayStation kind of logo and stuff as it's, like, coming up there and whatnot.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it makes it really cool, though. I mean, obviously, they took notes from, like, Marvel doing that with Marvel's, like, cinematic universe and stuff. But being able to see those, like, cool little, you know, like, throwbacks and nostalgia, like, factors in there and stuff is, like, something that I think a lot of these companies would benefit from. Just in terms of, like, you know, like, if people like your games and whatnot, why not have something cool in there that kind of reminds them, like, of all the things that they liked about different games that you made kind of thing.
That's true. I agree. So
I think I want to see what Ubisoft original looks like when they finally start putting it on, like, game screens and whatnot.
I think it also might could be, like, I'm not as I don't want to say down with it, but, like, it's not like, oh, this is really cool to me. Because maybe I'm just not a huge fan of, like, Ubisoft. Maybe because it's, like, Ubisoft doing it, I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe if it was, like, a different company that I really liked, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could get behind more.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, for sure. I get that kind of thing. Because out of the Ubisoft games that we play and stuff, because I wouldn't even say I'm the biggest Ubisoft fan. Right. It's just, like, I like
the idea.
If they ever freaking bring back Splinter Cell, I'll be all over it. But I mean, yeah, they'll have, like, Rainbow. Other
games, but they won't give him his own game.
Oh, my gosh. Killing me over here, Ubisoft. But yeah, it's like, you know, they got the Rainbow Six games. They have the Ghost Recon games, Assassin's which Creed. Both of those I'm not really in. Assassin's Creed, I'm in and out, like, from time to time and stuff. But yeah, and Far Cry, I guess, is in there Watch as well, Dogs. Which I've fallen out of Far Cry for a long time. Yeah, Watch Dogs, I've been, I think it's probably the game, I guess, like, IP that I'm into the most from Ubisoft, looking at everything currently. But yeah, even that, it's like, you know, I'll usually play them for a while and then I'm kind of, like, done afterwards, or I don't, like, think about it much afterwards kind of thing. So it's, you know, that it's once they start to maybe, like, diversify a little bit more kind of thing, because they have a pretty diverse, like, you know, set of IP and stuff, but in terms of, like, styles of games, a lot of people think of games as being Ubisoft games, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's like, we know that these are all very similar, like, and formulaic with each other.
Consistent, yeah.
So then if it's that kind of thing, I could see that being a weird thing where it's like, maybe you don't need to brand something as Ubisoft original, because seemingly hardcore, like, people in the gaming space kind of already know, like, what a Ubisoft game is,
right,
like, in quotes. But, you know, for random weird people stuff. It's just like, oh yeah, I got to see this little, like, cool thing, and hey, it's got some Assassin's Creed stuff in there, hey, it's got, like, Ghost Recon shooty shoots over there. It's like, yeah, yeah.
Shooty shoots.
But cool little kind of thing to come out this past week. Now, Michael, another thing we also got from this past week, some new details about PSVR, whatever they're gonna call number two and whatnot. Very excited, Michael. I know VR is not Michael's bag. It's a specific type choice. Of thing. Yeah, not by, no, it's not his. It's not his bag by choice. I was like, oh, double negatives in there. This is tough. But yeah, they did come out with some new details over here. I think the original story came out from what is this? Upload VR, Ian Hamilton over there. But apparently, you know, just real quick in here, some of the new details and whatnot, pretty cool. It'll have, you know, significantly higher resolution, which regular VR games on the PSVR never looked super great. I think of one specifically, like Special Delivery, which I was just like, oh man, this is a garbage looking game. And after playing it for, like, quite a while, I'm just like, oh, this is rough. But then along with that, they have inside out tracking, which is really cool. If I don't have to worry about the camera in my, you know, setup and whatnot anymore, that's awesome. That because, nice. Yep. Man, camera tracking for PSVR is not great all the time. vibration motor, which I hadn't read before, but that sounds interesting. I don't know if I want my head vibrated while I'm doing these things. Maybe it'll just be for the remotes. Hopefully, something they're calling foveated rendering, which I think is cool. And that's just because
foveated or phobia?
Foveated. Oh, so foveated. So foveated.
I don't even know what that word means.
So I'll explain it. So the only reason I find this cool is because it has to do with like the eyeballs and obviously eye doctor.
Yep.
I get it kind of get thing. It, yeah. When people were talking about this earlier in the week, I was like, hey, that's really cool. And then they're talking and I'm just like, oh man, they don't even know what it means. so sad where like someone's trying to explain it. And I'm like, okay, well yeah. Easiest way to explain it is that the what we call the fovea is the very like central most part of your vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's kind of when they're talking about foveated rendering, right? They're rendering it around your like central vision kind of area. So okay. Basically wherever you're looking inside the PSVR, and it's where they have like what's called tracking, like the system is supposed to track your eye movements and whatnot also, so that it knows basically where you're looking in the game, and it keeps the, you know, like quote unquote rendering kind of thing going on in there based around kind of where you're looking inside the game itself.
Okay.
So obviously, that's like, cool. Just naturally in the regular world, like, we have, you know, pretty sharp for, like, average, like, normal eyes. We have sharp, you know, central vision. And then peripheral vision is kind of okay, but it's not, like, great for most people, right? And it's not supposed to be great. It's not supposed to have, like, a lot of detail out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's supposed to be better for, like, movement and stuff, right? When you get into the central vision stuff, though, in, like, real world as well as the games itself in like PSVR 2 or whatever they call it, you know, we want you to focus on specific things in there, and if you're only having to kind of, the game only has to worry about showing you kind of the things that you're looking at, it just makes it a better like experience overall, and you don't have to take up as much like computation, like space and whatnot as far as like the game like working.
Okay,
so it's a cool like science thing that I don't think this term was ever going to catch on with anybody else.
Probably not.
It's like a very specific technical kind of thing.
Right. It's cool, though.
It's very cool, yeah. And that's why I'm just like, oh, man, I like the idea of this. Because sometimes, like, you know, in the regular PSVR, when I am, you know, kind of like playing that and stuff, like even, let's say, like a Beat Saber, right? If I am kind of just holding my head in a certain way, and I happen to like, you know, if I don't want to move my head that much, which in Beat Saber, you don't really want to move your head that much.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to move your hands and the sabers and whatnot. If I am, you know, looking in a certain direction without moving my head, everything is just blurry out there. So it's like you have to really direct your head exactly where you want to look, almost kind of like trying to look at through the exact central part of like a pair of glasses or something.
Right.
You can't just like look anywhere you want because, you know, you get these weird distortions and stuff on the outsides. But if you're looking in the center, that's where it's clear and it's where you're supposed to look. So you got to actually direct your head everywhere. And being able to get around that, like, annoying aspect of VR sounds, like, amazing. Because I want to be able to just, like, look
your eyes,
with my eyes and stuff without having to move my head. Because what if I'm playing a scary game and I don't want to move my head to turn around to see scary things? I just want to look at the corner of my eye and be like, is he over there? Yeah, he's over there.
Oh, God. That is pretty cool. Oh,
man. Super, super cool. But we'll see. We'll see when they eventually announce these things, because if we can't even get PS5s, Michael, I can't imagine we're getting this anytime soon.
Yeah, I know.
So that'll be in the far, far future.
Down
maybe.
The line.
Something also in the far future, Michael. Apparently, an article came out on Wired. I was going to say The Wired.
The TV show.
Yeah, the TV show. Peter Rubin over here had a long article over on Wired. Part of the article in there is kind of the interesting thing that has kind of caught on in the news this past week. And it's basically the idea that there are 25 PS5 games that are in development for the current time that we're in. I don't know where I was going with that sentence.
Era.
The current era. Woo! Almost lost my mic. Save there. It. That was crazy. But 25 games, Michael. Very excited. Impressive. Very, very excited.
Now I wonder, because I'm sure they didn't say time frames of these games.
Oh, of
these
course
could
not.
Mean like years in the future. Like ideas are ready. We have this idea ready. We're gonna count this kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm curious if this is, because it was a what was it? It was part of a statement from Herman Holst, I believe. So basically, yeah, the idea that there's 25 things that are in development there. They mention nearly half of them being entirely new IP, so like entirely new games that we've never like had previous games of. Mm-hmm. I find that really cool, just because we always hear a lot of like sequel talk in like video games, and the idea that we're getting a whole bunch of new things that are being worked on for the new console, very exciting. But you know, in terms of just like, yeah, things that we like, maybe it is like far future kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're talking about things that are coming out in like 2023 and 2024 kind of stuff. Hopefully not going too far past 2023, because that's crazy. We're going past 2023. Like, it was already crazy when I think last year when Pragmata was announced.
And oh yeah, for 2022. Got
yeah the 2023 like release kind of thing. I was just like, oh my gosh, dude. Like,
we're
going far in the future here.
I can imagine that being true for probably a lot of, or not, I don't want to say a lot of games, but some of the games now since the whole pandemic happened, I'm sure that pushed a bunch of stuff back.
Yeah, for sure. And we've slowly seen things that maybe had just like say, what's the Harry Potter game? Harry Potter, or it was like Hogwarts Legacy, Hogwarts, yeah, or something like that. We saw that one had a 2021 date that was then pushed to 2022, just broad term like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've had other ones that Dying Light 2 just pushed indefinitely.
That disappeared.
I know, it's just gone off the face of the earth over here. And then was, I think, another one, the Vampire's Masquerade, yeah, 2 or whatever. That all these things that have just been like pushed, probably part in due to you know, the pandemic, mm-hmm, and probably also just like they've had hard development cycles and whatnot.
I saw Imran posted, he's like on Twitter, he's like, I've heard exciting things about E3, about things happening,
mm-hmm,
but then he said, and I don't know if it was parentheses, but he said after, it's about, you have to remember, the pandemic happened.
Yeah, for real.
Things have been pushed,
mm-hmm,
and not everything is going to be, you're not going to get like, oh my God, amazing. He said, things are exciting, but you got to remember things happened and things are pushed.
Yeah, it's almost like we're going to have like a year of like pause kind of thing.
Yeah.
We'll have some things that are still coming out, but it's kind of like, oh, get like ready for, maybe get ready for next year, as opposed to like, hey, get ready for like this, the end of this year kind of thing.
Exactly.
Because pandemic, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? It's just the story of everyone's lives.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, Maggle. But exciting stuff though, exciting.
It is cool.
I was trying to think of the different things that we already know about and count off of, like, you know, count some of those things off, because I know we know that, you know, obviously God of War, mm-hmm, sequel is happening.
Stray, would you count Stray?
I don't know,
because they haven't showed Stray any gameplay on that at all.
Yeah,
they just showed that one little teaser trailer and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's like one that could possibly be counting, because I don't know if Stray is coming anywhere else. But
true. I don't even know what the gameplay is or what it is.
I think it's puzzle? Like you play as like you play as a cat, and I think you deliver things as a cat. It's like a cat delivery game.
Up my alley, man.
Oh my gosh. Okay, the cat part. It's like the delivery thing up your alley.
Hey, man. All right. Life, you got
well,
it.
I guess what? If Death Stranding was the first of the delivery genre,
it's true,
maybe Stray will be the second of that. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I count Stray or not. I would probably count like something like Kena Bridge of Spirits in there. Obviously like Spider-Man, the was it Peter Parker sequel kind of thing coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you could probably count the Ratchet game in there as well. Just because it's coming out soon, but you know. Yeah, Horizon then as well. What are they called? Because Ember's working on Kena. What was the Firewalk Studios? It's not Firewalk Studios.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, they're working on that multiplayer exclusive, mm-hmm, for PlayStation.
Oh, what about the, I don't know if it's exclusive, the Good Old Tales, or the one that looks like...
Oh.
The guy's fighting, and then the older man, and the kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what is that game called?
It looks really good though.
Yeah, it does. I think that's also coming to Xbox.
Oh,
though.
Is it? Okay.
I think. I don't know if Solar Ash is an exclusive. It might be going to PC as well.
Could be, yeah.
But like console wise, they maybe count stuff like that. It's so like ambiguous as to like what they could be counting and aren't counting.
Exactly.
But just the idea that, you know, at least half of those things being things that we haven't heard about. Sounds exciting. Really cool, you know. So or I think that's how you read that, right? Would you read that as like that? Like the more than half of them being new IPs, being things that we also don't know about type of thing?
I don't know. I don't, because they didn't say things we don't know. That's it could true. Just be things we know. That's why it's true. A very vague, vague statement.
Tricky, really tricky Herman Holst over there. He wants to
make it sound better than it actually is.
Well, you know, any way you spin it, 25 games
yeah, for PS5
coming out are, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Very exciting, though. So I'm looking forward. Hopefully
The Last of Us remake isn't one of them.
I don't think so, right?
Like, I don't know. Knowing how much they love that series.
Yeah, apparently, man. Is it just me? Like, do you have the same love for The Last of Us that so many people have?
I do not.
Okay.
Like, The Last of Us is a good game.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, too. It is a good game. I would
consider it great. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, I feel like, okay, I know now it sounds like we're on the same, like, wavelength here. We are
definitely on the same wavelength.
Where, like, I feel like a crazy person for not liking The Last of Us as much as everyone else.
Yeah, same. It. Like, I'm going to bring up Greg Miller. Greg Miller loves it. He speaks so highly of it and stuff.
Most people in the gaming industry speak super highly
exactly,
of it.
Exactly. Like, I agree with people who like Hades and Titanfall 2 and stuff, but I think it might be because Last of Us is good, but when I think of The Last of Us, I don't think of gameplay ever. I just think of story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when I think of story, I just think of, oh, that could be a movie. That could be something I could watch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a video game per se. It is. It has good gameplay.
Yeah, obviously it's a video game. Yeah, the gameplay is pretty good, but it's just like, yeah, it's not a particularly exciting game to play.
No.
You know? It's kind of just like, you know, I'm going through, sneaking, oh, running from this clicker over here. He's coming to get me. Yeah, all these, I'm just like, yeah, like it's fine, guys. Yeah. Like it's not that crazy. I wouldn't say I don't like the game.
No, no,
I would never
say
that because people that I have heard say that, I think are a little crazy.
Yeah, they are more than a little crazy.
Yeah, more than a little bit. Yeah, they're just like, I feel like, you know, because obviously in any kind of like medium type of thing, when there's people that are super high on something, there's going to be people who like
hate it.
Who hate it because there are people who like love it, kind of thing. Or yeah, or because the majority of people say it's such an amazing thing, and they're just like, nah, I hate this game. Maybe without even really thinking about it, right? But yeah, it's like the game is good. It's just not like, I don't think it's at the level that everyone talks about these things being like masterpieces.
I don't either. Again, but we haven't played Last of Us 2, so maybe we would change if we both played it. Yeah. But from Last of Us 1,
Like playing The Last of Us 1, good. even at its like peak of like the remaster and stuff, I'm just like, yeah, it's not. It's just not like it's fine.
Top 30 games probably.
Oh yeah, if we were to talk about like, I don't know, top 10 or top 5 like PlayStation IPs kind of thing, I don't think it would fit in there at all.
No, me neither.
Like, I'm just like, nah, it's just not. It's not up there to that. I know Naughty Dog is talked about as being an amazing studio, and they totally are, but I don't think The Last of Us is necessarily what makes them an amazing studio.
No, I agree.
I think like their attention to detail and stuff like that makes them an amazing studio, and like, you know, their vision for things makes them amazing, but like The Last of Us itself, I don't think is like, I don't know, I don't find it to be a standout compared to like other PlayStation exclusives kind of things, you know. Okay, glad I'm not the only one who feels like this.
You're not the only one. It's there too for me.
Yeah, man, people who listen that are like super hardcore into The Last of Us are gonna be like, I hate these guys now.
We're not saying it's bad. It's good. It's just not that good.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a little overblown sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. If it's getting positive, you know, if it's giving people positive impressions and stuff, that's good. So,
it's always a blessing.
All good stuff. Well, that's all the news I have.
The year for the Game Awards, but you know, it's whatever. They wanted everyone else, but I won the Game Awards. But whatever.
Oh my gosh, Michael had something to say there.
No.
Okay. Oh man. Okay. Well, that's all the news I got for people this week. I did want to briefly shout out a game that I hadn't heard about and saw, I think a couple days ago or a day ago on the store, and saw this and I was like, this looks pretty tight. This looks pretty dope. I had no idea this was even coming out. Like most indie games, that just kind of drop without notice type of thing. I was like, this looks pretty cool. It's a game called Quantum Replica.
Quantum Replica.
It is, you know, an indie game that is only $10, so $9.99. If you have PS Plus, it is 10% off right now until the 27th. So you got, like, I think first couple weeks of release, basically. And the game is kind of like a cyberpunk type of aesthetic, right? It's kind of futuristic, lots of neon lights and things, but it's somewhat stealth gameplay, also action gameplay, because there is like, there are like bosses and stuff as you go throughout things. But it's like, along with the like stealth mechanics and like, you know, like normal ones you'd expect, like, you know, enemies having cones of vision that they'll detect you in, kind of thing.
Right.
You kind of sneaking around, maybe you throw like a pebble or something to make them investigate somewhere and you can sneak around them that way. Along with that, they have these cool like time stop mechanics in there where you like slow down time to like dodge bullets and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this looks pretty sweet, dude. Like, I had no idea this was even coming out.
You like that cyberpunk aesthetic.
Yeah, really? Funny enough, like, I think cyberpunk is pretty cool in terms of, like, aesthetic-wise. I think it's kind of an overdone aesthetic.
It is.
But, I mean, it seems like it works for some specific things, and it's like, you know, the main thing is that, you know, not the setting is the coolest, but that the gameplay is really cool. And the gameplay in this looks pretty cool. In terms of the setting, I'm just like, you know, it's setting is fine. But
it does look interesting, especially for $10.
Yeah, that was the real thing. I was like, dude, this is a freaking steal. Like seeing the way the game looks and kind of plays and stuff, just based off the trailer that I kind of watched. It's like a minute and a half long trailer they have on the PSN store.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this looks pretty tight, dude. I'm gonna pick this thing up. I haven't been able to yet because I was busy this weekend and stuff. But I'm going to, if I'm taking a break in between on Mass Effect and stuff, I will try to jump into this game to hopefully have some idea of, if I was on the money in terms of this being a pretty cool thing next weekend. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
He'll let you know.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I do like me some stealth games.
It's true.
But I'll let you know if I think this is actually like worth it kind of thing. Because obviously it'll still be on sale.
It's true.
And I think when you're coming down on the point of like, hey, this is like $10. I think at that point, most things are worth it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Some things that are not worth it for $10, when you go from, and I'm gonna, oh shoot, I forget what their name is, the publisher, I think Gamuzumi, I think is the publisher name.
So those anime games?
Yes, it's the anime games. So
anime's great, but
when you go from, Legends of Arcadia, Legends of Talia, I think, Arcadia, I think is with the sub title or whatever.
Okay,
it's a weird name. I think that was like $3, maybe $4, and you got access to the PS5 and the PS4 version, two platinums. You could go through that visual novel probably in the course of like a few hours or in the course of a few minutes and get platinums for both of them, kind of thing, if you were so inclined.
Right.
But that seems seemingly worth it there. The next one from Gamuzumi, something Succubus, I forget.
My
Secret Succubus or something like that.
Oof.
Actually, wait, I might be able to find it because they're also coming out with another one.
Of course.
Pretty soon. Yeah, it's like, of course you are. But that one, that Succubus game, $10 all of a sudden. Went up from $4 to $10.
They're reaching here.
Yeah, I think went up from $3 to $10. I'm like, oof. you're kinda reaching there. You're going basically like, what is that math wise? 200% more than you previously were in terms of price, over 200% more. I'm like, okay, all right guys, let's calm it down a little bit. But yeah, and then I think the next one, which is I think a sequel to the Succubus game or whatever, also going to be probably $10, I would assume.
Right.
And I'm like, all right guys, like, I think sometimes people get a little greedy with these things.
Oh, probably. Like, oh, this one's so good, let's...
Yeah, they're just like, oh man, like, people bought up this game like hotcakes, you know what I'm saying? people love those hotcakes. They love these visual novels you get platinums from in a couple minutes. Let's sell the next one at 233% higher. People will still buy it. And the thing is, people do still buy it.
True.
Which I'm like, guys, don't do this. Like, you're gonna set a bad precedent over here, trophy people.
I think the precedent's already set.
Oh man, it's totally set. Speaking of this bad precedent being set, the latest like egregious thing from the breakthrough publisher, whatever's
motive games.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so this game called Our Church and Halloween.
Oh, that was the RPG. Yeah,
that was the RPG. I think I told you. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but I think I told you about it on the car ride at one point. And you know, so they put out a part one, which had a full platinum. Part two has a full platinum. There are now four parts, Michael. 99 cents each one. Platinums for each one. And I'm just like, how does this happen? And a game like Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance that came out on the PS4 recently is $30, has no platinum. It's got five trophies. And I'm just like, what is happening with people on here?
Trophies are not worth it.
Oh my gosh. No. I would say sometimes games aren't worth it. But if they're going to be worth it, they got to be consistently worth it, which means that just give every game a platinum, you know? Every game should have a platinum at this point.
Or no reason why not. Trophies.
Well, I would never say that. I don't want to take things away from people. I want to give people things, but I don't want things to just like lose out on things because there are games that are better than other games.
Sure.
Like Dark Alliance being but way better than Our Church and Halloween.
I do not think you should judge Baldur's Gate, just on the fact it doesn't have a platinum.
Oh, no. And that's why. I'm not judging on that. I'm saying that it's a good game.
Right.
I've never played it, but I've heard great things. I'm saying that it's a good game that deserves a good shot. Because now, you know, there will be people that don't buy this because they're like, oh, it was given less of a, like, official treatment than, you know, random 99-cent game over here that you can get a platinum in, like, a minute type of thing.
Well, that's a terrible outlook.
Yeah, that's why. Like, I mean, there are people that'll do that, though, because, I mean, it's, you know, if people feel like, you know, how do you change the minds of people in companies and stuff, and it has to be by not purchasing things when they make decisions you don't like. And so it's like, you know, if that's how these people feel like they have to do it, then they could do it like that. And I'm just like, you know, that just sucks because the developers lose out, you know.
It's true.
Just give everybody the same treatment. Xbox has become pretty good about that, where they just give all games 1,000 gamer score. I don't think I can remember a game lately that has not gotten 1,000 gamer score, even if it's like a super like tiny kind of thing.
I wonder if it comes down to Sony saying you don't get a platinum, or if it's the developer choice saying, well, we don't really need a platinum.
I think from what I've heard, and I'm not sure if this is official or if it's kind of just like hearsay type of thing, but from what I hear, it's that developers, you know, are maybe told that like, hey, like you need to have like a trophy list for your game kind of thing. You know, just send us a list and you're good kind of thing. And I think sometimes they, you know, they send back a list and they're like, oh, no, your game, you know, it doesn't need a platinum trophy kind of thing. So just, you know, don't worry about that part. And then, you know, developers just like, okay, well, I guess that's what they said. So I'll just go with it kind of thing. But they could just push back and be like, no, we want one because, you know, platinums help sell games as well. And so they're just like, yeah, well, they just lose out on those things. I'm just like, that sucks.
It's true.
It's a sucky situation. One more really cool game that I saw as well that hadn't heard about, and I think it's $19.99, Retro Machina, which is, it's got a really cool art style. It's like you play as this robot who is kind of going through this like seemingly abandoned futuristic cityscape kind of thing. And you can also control kind of other robots in the area to kind of solve like platforming puzzles and whatnot. You got some cool dash mechanics in there. There is some combat in there with other robots that are bad apparently. But the art is really cool, and kind of like the overall aesthetic and like movement of the characters is nice to see.
It's got that isometric.
Yeah, the isometric kind of gameplay. And I think it's another one that's pretty cool to check out. So I'm gonna try and check out both of these things in between some Mass Effect time.
There you go. You'll need it for sure.
Oh my gosh, so much. Burn out there. Yeah, I don't want to burn out. I love the Mass Effect games, but I don't want to burn out. And that could definitely happen if I'm not careful.
It's true.
Oh, Michael.
Before we jump into taking a side quest, I do want to bring up, I don't know if you mentioned it on the podcast or it might have been after.
Oh yeah.
But you got Monster Hunter.
Yes.
And we made a deal that we...
Oh, yeah. We talked about Hood Outlaws and Legends.
It's not getting great scores.
Yeah, I was actually meaning to mention that to you as well. That I'm like, oh, maybe, man. Maybe
this shouldn't be the game.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, that sucks. It's not getting great scores. Might be something that I hold off on to like just be like, you know, I've got other things to play. Don't got to worry about it. So we'll keep seeing. We'll keep, because obviously, you know, I held up the thing of like, I'll get Monster Hunter. I found it when it was a little bit cheaper, randomly at Walmart, and I'm like, okay, cool. We'll find something that we can still play there. But Hood, Outlaws, and Legends might not be it.
Might not. Say,
so most sad. Likely not. So sad, man. So sad. Sure.
Okay.
Jumping. Now, also, if you find a game that you think would be pretty cool, oh, let me know. Obviously, it's not like the same like trade-off there, because ideally it would be something that like I want to play that then like you would play with me, and obviously I'd play Monster Hunter with you.
Do you want to play Overwatch?
Well, I think we already agreed that Overwatch wouldn't be it because we both are up for playing that.
Okay, I'll look into.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, if you see something, you're like, hey, this looks pretty cool, and I hadn't thought about it or like, you know, registered that kind of thing, then we'll that might be it there as well. So we'll see how these things are going.
But anyway,
take me on a side quest.
I will take you on a side quest. So this week is going to be Nintendo oriented.
Okay.
Five questions. All multiple choice. Mm-hmm. I think they're all going to be multiple choice from here on out.
Okay, because
I like making cool. The questions like and answers. Okay. Here's hoping you get the
perfect score. Let's do this, Michael. Let's do this.
All right, number one. Nintendo was founded back in 1889. Real old company. Really? Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Man, okay.
What did the company originally make? A, wooden cats. B, playing cards. C, tatami mats. Or D, Italian-style plumber overalls.
Oh my gosh.
I'm glad that one got laughed.
That'd be pretty amazing if that was the answer.
Do you want me to read the answers?
Think, let me know. I think playing cards.
B playing cards?
Yeah.
Is your final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Ooh, Hanafuda. Nice. Hanafuda. Yeah, there we go. Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't say Hanafuda because that would have been a lot easier.
Ah, that's true.
Number two. Mm-hmm. Kirby is a well-known and well-loved Nintendo character.
Oh, man.
But when he was first created, Kirby originally had a different name. What was it?
Oh, my gosh.
A, Puff Puff. B, Puyo. C, Popopo. Four, or D, Sucky McSucksuck.
Oh, gosh. Okay, hold on. So you said Puff Puff?
A, Puff Puff. B, Poyo.
Poyo.
C, Popopo. Or D, Sucky McSucksuck.
Man.
It's a hard one.
It is hard. Because then there's also like Puyo Puyo, which sounds a lot like Poyo, and I'm just like, it's... And they're kind of all circular and stuff.
They are all circular.
Oh, man. I'm going to say Poyo.
Poyo? Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That'd be incorrect.
Dang.
It was Popopo.
What?
The original game name was going to be Tinkle Popopo. But they changed it to Kirby. Gosh.
Thank goodness he changed it to Kirby.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my jeez.
Sonic reigns supreme. All right, number three.
I don't think that's...
Mario has had many games released over the years since he was first introduced in 1983. But how many games has the Italian plumber appeared in?
Oh, jeez.
Now, appeared in, not just starred, appeared in.
Oh, man.
A, around 50. Jeez. B, around 100. C, around 200. Or D, Mario has actually been in every video game in some capacity. Don't tell Luigi.
Man. Is it around 100?
B, is that your final answer?
Yeah, I'll go
around 100? Be incorrect.
Oh, okay.
It is C, around 200.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I verified it with multiple sources, and it's all around 200 games he's appeared in.
That's nuts, dude.
It is crazy.
That is crazy to think about. Oh, jeez.
He is their star child.
Yeah, jeez.
Number four.
Big old plumber boy.
Exactly.
That was his original name.
Big old plumber boy.
Big old plumber boy.
Number four. What is the best-selling Nintendo game of all time? A, Pokemon Blue, Red, Yellow. All one thing.
Okay, gotcha.
B, Wii Sports. C, New Super Mario Bros. DS. Or D, Extreme Sports with Berenstain Bears.
gosh. Wii Sports.
Wii Sports Finalizer?
Yeah, yeah.
You would be correct.
Yeah.
I had to find, I'm like, what's an obscure game I can think of?
Yeah, for real. Find.
All right, number five.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these games is an actual Nintendo game?
Oh, no.
Of these ones. A, Super Noah's Ark 3D. B, Georgie's Quest. C, Sleepy Bedtime. Or D, Azumanga Daioh.
All right, I know that last one is a manga that you like.
It's one of my favorites, too.
Hold on a second. Oh, is it really? Yeah, wow.
Okay. I have the manga, too.
Okay. I think I watched some episodes of that.
The anime is very good also, as well. A while ago. It's hilarious.
It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Also, though, I'm just like, there's nothing going on in this show.
it's slice of life.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I was like, what is happening?
Side
here?
Tangent, my favorite manga is Yotsuba, which is made by the same guy.
Oh, okay. I also have
those mangas.
All right, then let me see. What was the first one you said?
Yeah. A, Super Super Noah's Ark 3D.
Mm-hmm.
B, Georgie's Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, Sleepy Bedtime.
I'm going to say Georgie's Quest.
B, Georgie's Quest, final answer?
Yeah.
It is Super Noah's Ark 3D.
Are you serious?
It is Doom-style. You can look it up. It's a Doom-style.
What?
Noah. I don't know if it's the same gameplay, but it looks like the original Doom made by id Software.
Weird. Oh, my. Made by id Software.
Id Software.
Id Software made Super Noah's Ark? Wow. All right.
1994, I believe it was.
Mind is blown.
Mind
over
is
here.
Blown.
Jeez.
So one, two.
Like a two?
Got two out of five.
Okay. All right. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Not too bad.
Not bad. That's not bad.
Well,
oh, man.
Sonic.
I tell you, Michael, you loaded up the Sonic with easy answers over here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. This game is rigged from the start over here. All right, everybody. Well, thank you again for tuning in to the Bros and Consoles podcast. If you guys have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Man, sometimes I forget to take a breath in between sentences over there.
There's a nice wrong there.
But if you guys have any other specific questions about games and things as well, or recommendations for that, let us know in the email as well. We will be back again next weekend, as we usually are. Mm-hmm. If anything does change and stuff, we'll let you guys know. But until then, thank you all for the support, and we'll talk to you all later.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.